Morning, Rabbi Yisai. Our limud of Hilchos Lashon Hara, as always, is L'schus Refuah Shleima for Yosef Domer Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleima, B'sor Shochel Yisrael B'korov.
Amen.
Just a PS on yesterday when we were speaking about judges divulging their opinions when there's more than one, and we wondered whether or not in England, there is only a single judge who does that cases are either judge or judge and jury. But there isn't a panel of judges. Moishi sent me a list of countries where where private individuals are judged by a panel of judges. So somebody is accused of stealing, or somebody is accused of assault, battery, whatever it is. Yeah, they will appear in front of a panel of judges. And those countries are Germany, France, Japan, Italy, Netherlands, Spain, China, and Russia. So, in those countries, you can be judged in front of a panel of judges. In England, it's either a judge or a judge and jury. And then we were speaking about whether or not those judges are entitled to reveal. I mean, we were saying that they're not al pi halacha, sai al srochilus, because they will be goyim, that the person who lost the case will resent the judge who paskened against him, and sai as megale soid, that the judges are not allowed to reveal something that is bichlal in any meeting, in any public body or something like that. When there is a meeting, it's confidential discussion. Do we admit this child to the school? Don't we admit this child to the school? And afterwards they give a decision to the parents and they say, we're not admitting your child to the school. A committee member can't say, I was on your side, I tried so hard to get your child into the school, but unfortunately, the other members of the panel, or most all of the other members of the panel, didn't. You're not allowed to come out of a meeting, als megala soid. That was the Gemara that was just happened to be on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, getting to now the Gemara that we wanted to learn about, which was about Rabbi Ami, about the idea that you can react to a pupil who is not a good Talmud and who is speaking Lashon Hara. You can actually, you're supposed to give him up, you're supposed to fire him. So it says as follows, the Gemara says that Ha'u Talmida, there was a Talmud of Rabbi Ami, Denofik Ole Kolo, that a rumor went out, the Goli Milsa Deitma Be Midrosha Bosa Estrin Dutatin Shnin. He revealed a Lashon Hara that happened in the Beis HaMedrash 22 years earlier. So 22 years later, he is now speaking about a Lashon Hara that occurred 22 years previously. Afke Rabami Mbe Midrosha. Rabami threw him out of the Beis HaMedrash. Omar, and he said, Dein Gali Razio. This man is somebody who reveals secrets. So the Chofetz Chaim says that, first of all, the Mephoshim on the Gemara speak a lot about Ha'u Talmida Denofik Ole Kolo, that only a rumor went out. Are you allowed to react to a rumor? So therefore, the Mephoshim say it must be that Rabbi Ami verified that the rumor was true. To rely just on the Denofik Ole Kolo, that there was a rumor going around that he'd said something, that would be enough. We know the rules that if you hear something, you're allowed to be choishish, maybe it's true, but you're not allowed to take any action as a result of it. Therefore, he would not have been entitled to throw this Talmud out of the Beis HaMedrash as a result of a rumor. But so the Mephoshim say, I saw in the Masifta, they bring down Mephoshim there, that say that he, Zicha, made sure, he verified for himself, Rav Ami, that it was absolutely true. It tells us as well, the Mephoshim learn from here, that there's no limit, there's no time limit, there's no statute of limitations. In English law, there's a 6-year statute of limitations. After that, for instance, you can't, if somebody owes money to somebody else, then he has to bring his case within 6 years. After 6 years, they say it's too late. In a Beis Din, actually, I believe there's no time limit whatsoever. If you remember now about somebody who owes you money from 22 years ago, you might have difficulty proving your case, but there's no time limit, there's no statute of limitations to say that the time has expired and therefore. So here you can see clearly that the person who spoke Lashon Hara about something that had occurred 22 years earlier, nevertheless, it didn't make any difference. Obviously he'd spoken now, so the actual thing, the actual speaking of the Lashon Hara. But, and then the other thing that they say is that this Talmud was guilty of two things, like we spoke about, and that's maybe the Hemshech of the Gemara. One is that he spoke Lashon Hara, But the other thing is the Gali Raziyahu, that he was revealing a secret. We have Hoylech Rochil Megale Soid. We have Rochilus and we have Megale Soid. And Megale Soid, revealing something that is a secret, is a separate, or makes a Rochilus that much worse. It's a separate element to Rochilus. It makes the Rochilus worse. And therefore Rebbe Ami asked this Talmud to leave the Beis HaMedrash. And the Chofetz Chaim says, like we learned in Klal Tes, that as a result of that, if you have a Talmud, or we said that maybe it could be the other way around, maybe it's the Rebbe who speaks Lashon Hara regularly, and in which case the Talmud should ditch the Rebbe. But normal case is probably we're assuming that the Rebbe is the Tzaddik and the Talmud is the Baal Lashon Hara, and therefore that Rebbe, if he cannot persuade the Talmud to give up the Lashon Hara, then he should find himself another Talmud.
Starts today at the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Beis Tammuz, 8th of July, Rabbi Ephraim Brachfeld, Shlita, Host Dilemma. This week's Torah will be sponsored jointly by family Dudi Rosenberg, the third Simchas and Nesuim today of Ben Zion Moshe Rosenberg and Goldie Feldman. Yehiel Rothstein, Shimon Weissman, also a family Silot, and also sponsored by families Kaufman and Krauss. Nishmas Bela Bas Ramesh Ali Asholam Uziad Sahib was yesterday, Vilishus Hashuva Khalib Amil Khamo, Shiach Sulavatsem Shalom Bim Hero.
Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
It sometimes happens that we have guests who have different opinions than us in matters of aluchim. Sometimes they're more lenient, and sometimes we are more lenient. And we'd like to explore together with you today what should be done in such a case. I'll give you some examples to clarify what I mean. Imagine I don't prepare a tea in a kli shlishi, meaning I don't take a kli shlishi and take a tea bag and prepare the tea. But my guest does. At the end of the meal, he wants a tea. I didn't prepare any tea essence before Shabbos. Can I give him this cup of water, give him the tea bag, and say, do as you wish? Or will you say, no? If, in my opinion, it would be a problem of chil Shabbos, how can I enable someone else to be mechal Shabbos? Another example. In this case, the host is more lenient. The host drinks Sheikah's whiskey. His guest doesn't. After the fish, they have a l'chaim. Can the host pour to his guest a cup of l'chaim, or Baal Simcha go from one table to the other table when his guest might not drink Sheikah's whiskey? Would you say... Sorry?
What whiskey?
Sheikah's, prepared in Sheikah's.
You have to explain what the problem is.
Well, that next speaker explained.
People don't know.
Right. There are different opinions when whiskey was prepared in barrels, which were used for wine before, if one can use that whiskey or not. So you could say, I asked a competent dayan, and I was told it's fine. And if it's fine for me, it's fine for everyone. Oh, no. Respect someone else's opinion. And if you drink it, it doesn't mean that your guest also has it. Another example, opening bottles on Shabbos. Some do, some don't. Can I put a bottle in front of my guest when I don't open bottles and allow him to open the bottle for himself or not?
Can I open it for him in front of him?
Sorry? If I don't open the bottle, can I put the...
But if he doesn't, can I open it for him?
Well, that's all right. That would be the flip side. If I open and he doesn't. In Manchester, we have an Eruv. And as in many places, some carry and some don't. For argument's sake, let's say that I don't carry, and my guest does carry. Can I give him a bottle of water to take home after the meal? Or would you say, if it's not good enough for me, it shouldn't be good enough for him as well? And if it is fine for me, it should be fine for him. But can we differentiate and say, I don't carry, but he can carry? Motzei Shabbos, some people keep Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Others keep the Zman of the Goyim, which is a bit earlier. Can I tell my guest, here's a candle, make avdula? I can't make avdula yet. For me, it's still Shabbos. But for you, you can make avdula or no. I enable him to turn on the light, turn on the fire on Shabbos, according to my opinion. Different people rely on different hechsherim, and the list goes on and on and on and on. The question is, if I am of one opinion, my guest is of another opinion, either I'm more lenient or he's more lenient, am I allowed to enable him to do whatever he is comfortable or give him something which he is not comfortable using because I hold it fine. So let's start with the basics. The Torah says, Lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. don't put a stumble block in front of a blind person, which doesn't only refer to a physical stumble block, but also to a spiritual one. As Chazal say, a nuzer can't drink wine. I can drink wine. He can't. Don't enable him to drink wine. Don't pour a cup of wine and give it to him. Don't give him a bottle of wine. Because by doing so, you help, you enable him to be able to transgress the issa of a nuzer that shouldn't drink wine. But this is a clear case where everyone agrees that nuzer can't drink wine. We are discussing a case where there are two opinions. There are some rabbonim who are meichel, who are more lenient, and others are more machmir, others are strict about that matter. And either you are more lenient, like the case you mentioned of the sherry cask whiskey, or your guest is more lenient, like the case you mentioned about preparing tea, motzei Shabbos habeinatam, carrying in the erev. Would this be also part of lifnei iver l'sitra michshel? Or no? Would you say, if something is forbidden for me, it should be forbidden for my guest as well? And if I give him this tea, and he prepares the tea, in my eyes, this will be Chilul Shabbos, and therefore I enable him to be Mechal on Shabbos. Or would you say no? Because there are other opinions to hold, there's no issue of preparing tea, then it would not be the same as giving wine where everyone agrees that the wine is forbidden for the nuzer. And the other way around, if I hold something is permitted, I asked the Shal, I was told it's fine, can I say, if it's fine for me, it should be fine for everyone, and that's not a Isov Lifnei Iver L'Sitra Michshel? Or no, I hold it's fine. My guess is the opinion that's not fine, and therefore you enable him to do something which in his eyes is wrong. Interestingly enough, the Ritva brings quotes a Gemara in Sukkah, and he wants to bring a proof to our question. I'll read shortly the Gemara. Itma, the Gemara is Sukkah daf Yudam with base. Noi Sukkah hamuflugim mimenu arbu. You have a kosher Sukkah, and you have a sheet which is part of the creation, which is distant 4 tfuchim from the schach. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Umar, ksheire. Rav Nachman says, it's perfect, it's fine, the sikh is kush. Rav Chizde v'Rabbe Baravuna amre, psule. Rav Chizde v'Rabbe Baravuna say, no, because you sit under that sheet and not under the schach, the sukkah is invalid, is pusle. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Rav Chizde, who was strict in that matter, together with Rabbi Bar Avune, iklu lebei Reish Geluse. On Sukkot they went and they visited Reish Geluse. Agninu Rav Nachman, who was more lenient, took them in the Sukkot. B'Sukkot shenoye muflugim yemeno dalet tfuchim. He took him in his Sukkot, and his Sukkot was, in his opinion, fine. But in his guest opinion, was not fine, because there was this sheet underneath the schach, and therefore he brought his guest in a Sukkot, which according to the guest, is invalid. They didn't react, they didn't say anything, they just entered the sukkah. So the host, Rav Nachman, asks, did you change your mind? You go in the sukkah, which is in your opinion, pusl. Is it now okay? Do you change your mind? Amulei said, no. Anon shluche mitzvah anon. We are shluche mitzvah. As Rashi explains, we went to visit our Rebbe, and it's a mitzvah to be mekabel pnei rabbi. And therefore, shluchem mitzvah pturim in sukkah, and therefore, it doesn't make a difference to us if the sukkah is kosher or not. Till here the story. Said Ritva, how does it work? Rav Nachman is of the lenient opinion. Fine. But he knows that Rabbe and Rav Chizda are a different opinion. He doesn't ask any questions before they enter the sukkah. He lets them enter the sukkah, and afterwards, he said, maybe you change your mind. But before all of that happened, how could he take them in a sukkah which is invalid according to their opinion? So we see clear from here, says the Ritva, that because he was convinced, Rav Nachman was convinced the sukkah is kosher, therefore there's no problem of allowing someone else to use that sukkah, even though he's of a different opinion, because Rav Nachman held the sukkah is kosher, it should be kosher for everyone. So the Ritva says it seems to be clear from here there's no issue of ne'ivah l'sitra michshel if you have the more lenient opinion. However, asked the Ritva, it seems to contradict another Gemara. A Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. This Gemara speaks about a broad and famous topic which is called Nat Bar Nat. And the Gemara says as follows, Itma, Dugim She'olu Bekar. We're talking about fish which were fried in a pan, and the pan was used prior for meat. So the pan absorbed taste of meat, and afterwards, fish was fried in that pan. Now, the Gemara doesn't go into the question of meat and fish, which is a different topic. But the Gemara wants to talk about busol b'chulo, meat and milk. So the Gemara says, dugim she'ulu b'kal, these fish which were fried in a pan. And this pan is absorbed with taste of meat. Ravuma usel ochlam b'kutach. Kutach is a certain dish, a milky dish. You can't eat that fish with the milky dish. V'shmuel omar, Shmuel was more lenient. Shmuel omar, mutar l'ochlam b'kutach. You can take the fish and eat it with kutach, with the milky dish. And the Gemara explains, Rav Umar Usr Noisin Tamu. At the end of the day, the taste of the meat is absorbed in the frying pan. And the taste of the frying pan goes over into the fish. So now you have a meaty fish, so to say. And when you take this meaty fish and you mix it with milk, you have busol b'chulo. Shmuel Umar Mutar, because Noisin Tam Bar Noisin Tam. This taste traveled quite a long distance from the meat to the pan, from the pan to the fish, from the fish to the milk. And therefore, it's too far-fetched. There's no taste of meat left in the fish, and there's no issue of eating that fish together with milk. A machloikes, if noisentam is mutter, us. Again, Rav is of a strict opinion, and Shmuel is of the more lenient opinion. And then the Gemara says a story. Rabbi Lozo, who was a Talmud of Rav, have a kuim kameidu mashmuel. He was invited by mashmuel, and what did they serve? They served fish, which was prepared in a frying pan, which was used for meat together with milk. Shmuel holds it's fine. There's no issue. But Rabbi Lozo should follow the opinion of his Rebbe. Seemingly, he was aware how it was prepared, and therefore he refused to eat this dish. So Shmuel said, L'raboch yoivilei. I served the same dish to your Rebbe, to Rav, v'uchal, and he ate. V'at lo yochlis. If your Rebbe can eat it, you can eat it as well. Also lekamei de Rav, so he came to Rav, omar lei, hudar beimar mishmatei. Rabbi Lozo was puzzled. He knew his Rebbe was of the strict opinion. And here someone tells him that your Rebbe ate it. He came and asked, Rav, did you change your mind? Omar lei, no, chas lei lezarei d'abe barabe. Hashem should have mercy on Shmuel, delisfuli midiv lo svirle. Of course he never did that. He would never serve me a dish which, in my opinion, is not allowed to eat, and therefore you must have misunderstood him. And as some of Oshim explained, he didn't really mean that Rav ate it. In any way, Shmuel said, it's impossible. There's no way that Rav would serve me something which, in my opinion, is forbidden. But wait a second. Didn't Rav Nachman do the same? In the first story, in the story of Sikhet, Rav Nachman had no issue of inviting guests in his sikhi when he knew the guests are more strict about the matter. And here you say, definitely, there's no question about it, that Shmuel would never serve Rav food, which is problematic according to Rav's own opinion. So from the first Gemara in Sukkah, it seems to be that if the host is more lenient, there's no issue of inviting guests and allowing them to transgress something in their own eyes because the host is opinion that it's fine. And in the second story, Rav says, Shmuel would never do such a thing. It's forbidden to serve your guest something which your guest can't eat. And therefore, it seems to be that even if the host is more lenient, he can't allow his guest to transgress something in his own opinion. Answers the Ritva, there's a very simple difference between both cases. In the first case, you could look at the sukkah and you could see it for yourself. It would be as if the host tells the guest, look, this is the sukkah, look at the schach, look at the sheet underneath it. You're comfortable eating here? Come. You're not? Find a different sukkah. He gives the guest a choice. Whereas in the second case, who would know in which frying pan the fish was prepared? And therefore, says the Ritva, in any case where you make aware the guest of the problem and you let him choose, then it's fine. However, if you don't give him any choice, if you just serve him the dish, and he is unaware of what was the history of that dish, then would be a problem. Even though that by giving wine to Nuzir, he might be aware of the Issa, still it would be a problem. If you give wine to Nuzir, you tell him, it's wine, you're a Nuzir, it's still forbidden as Lifnei Evel Sita Mikshe. But in this case, as we have two opinions, and everyone is entitled to have an opinion, to change his opinion, you can give the choice to your guests and say, do whatever you want. If so, coming back to our question of Shreikas whiskey, if you are the opinion that it's allowed, and your guest is of the opinion that it's forbidden, and you make a kiddush or you host a meal, and you want to pour your guest of this whiskey, it seems to be similar than these two cases. So if you are quiet and you don't tell anything to your guest, you just pour him that whiskey, this would be a problem. Because even though you are more lenient, still your guest is of a different opinion. However, if you come and tell him, by the way, this is a Sherikas whiskey, if you're happy to have it, great. And if not, I respect it as well, then it would be fine. The Malche has a similar opinion. He brings another Gemurah, a Mishnah actually, in Yevumis, a famous Mishnah, where the Mishnah discusses difference of opinions between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the Mishnah says, "Afal pi she'ele oisim ve'ele matirin, ele poisim ve'ele machshirim," in Hilchis Yibum and Chalitze. In many different areas, there were different opinions between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which could lead to a case where one child of Beis Shammai is a mamzer according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. Still, lo nimnu Beis Shammai milisanushim mi'Beis Hillel. They married each other's children and they weren't worried. And Rashi explains, there was transparency. And Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, that's my opinion. You want to marry that child? Fine. And if not, I respect it as well. So the Malchus, we see that if you have a different opinion, you have to inform the other person and let him do it, let him make his own choice. It's interesting to mention that the Pri Chodesh says that this Gemurah is an exception. As the Gemurah says, there was a very fond relationship between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and maybe this is an exception to that rule, as the Gemara says, "L'lamdechu shechibu v'reyus nehagin zebuze lekai ma shenema hu emes v'ashulim v'hav." In any case, we have here seemingly a clear opinion of the Ritva and the Malche, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yeridei Sim Kuf Yud Tes Siv Zayin. I quote the Ramo: "Mi shenoyek beize iser mikach shesoyver shedina ruchi." Someone who is more strict in a matter. Or there's no issue for you to go to a host who's more lenient than yourself. Why not? He might give you something to eat which is forbidden for you. No, he definitely wouldn't give you something to eat which is forbidden. Why not? Because, says the Shach, it would be forbidden as if ever lesita mirshe. What he might do is he might inform you and give you the choice. That's fine. But without giving you the choice, he would definitely not feed you or give you something which is forbidden. So far we spoke about the first case, where the host is more lenient than his guest. And we said that as long as you inform your guest, it's fine. But what's in the other way around? We had the case of preparing tea, right? Where the host did not prepare tea in a kli shlishi, and the guest did. The host did not carry in the Erev, and the guest did. The host kept Shittas Abayin Tam Otze Shabbos, and the guest didn't. Is this the same case? The other way around, where the host is more strict and the guest is more lenient. Would you say, we see here that if one of them is of a different opinion, you just have to inform the other person and it's fine? Or is this different? So this question is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. The Ksav Sofer brings that case. And he says, firstly, I sought to say it's the same case. And if in the first case it's a problem of Ne'ivel Sitya Michshul, if you are of a more lenient opinion, so to here, if you have a more strict opinion, you can't give that to the other person. However, he said afterwards that there's a big, big difference. Because at the end of the day, if you give something to someone who is strict at that matter, you cause him to do something which he's uncomfortable doing. Why is it different than giving someone a bad advice? Why is it different than telling someone to do something in business which is not good for him? This person is uncomfortable of drinking that whiskey. This person is uncomfortable of eating that hersher. So if you enable him to do so, you cause him a certain discomfort, a certain pain. This would be lifnei iver lesita michshu. However, in our case, it's very different. Because the person is very happy to prepare his tea in a kli shlishi. The person is very proud to carry in the erev. The person has no issues of doing a melucha after Shittas HaGoyinim, before Motzei Shabbos Abayin Tam. So therefore you don't cause him any ill feelings, and therefore, says the Ksav Sofer, in such a case there would be no issue of Lifnei L'Sitya Michshul. So again, in the first case where you are of a more lenient opinion than your guest, then you just have to inform him. But if you don't inform him, then there will be a prohibition of Lifnei L'Sitya Michshul. However, if you are of a more strict opinion than your guest, then it will be fine. As long as your guest has a true opinion to rely on, with all our cases were cases where there are two opinions, two accepted opinions. So as long as your guest has an opinion to rely on...
Can you tell him to do for you something?
We'll come to that soon. So as long as your guest has something to rely on, then it's his choice. You don't have to say anything. You can give him hot water and a kli shlishi and let him prepare his tea. However, not all opinions agree to the ksav sofer. And therefore, in a case where you accept the most strict opinion, as a matter of fact, as the only opinion, then it's more tricky. Meaning, some people keep avinu tam, not because they're convinced that that's the only opinion. They're machmer, as a chumer. Some people don't care in the Erev, as a chumer. Not because they hold that there's something wrong with the Erev. Some people keep avinu tam, as a chumer. Some people don't prepare tea, as a chumer, as you mentioned. If this is the case, then there's no issue. You could definitely rely on the ksav sofer, and you can give him that tea, and you can give him the bottle of water, and you can give him a candle, Matzah Shabbos, to daven. However, if you are the opinion, or Yehuva is the opinion, that that's the Me'ikar Adin, this is the opinion should be kept. One can't open bottles on Shabbos, no question about it. One can't prepare tea in a Kli Shlishi. One can't be Mechal Shabbos before Zman Rabbeinu Tam. One can't rely on that Erev because it's Pusel. If this is your opinion, then it's more tricky. And in such a case, ask a Shale, some poskim amekel, others amachme, and you should ask a Shale in such a case. So just to summarize, we had two different cases. We had a case where you were more lenient than your guest. And we brought a proof of the Gemara in Sukkah, we had mentioned the Gemara in Chulin, we brought the Ritve, the Mordche, and the Shechnuch, that in such a case, inform your guest, and you find, if not, it is a problem. It is a problem to give him something where you are the more lenient opinion, and your guest is of the stricter opinion. However, in the other case, in the second case, where you are more strict than your guest, if you hold so as a chumre, then there's also no issue to allow your guest to do as he wants. If you hold some mikra din, then you should ask a shada. There's a very interesting proof that Rosh Hashanah and Eurbach brings from a gemurah that I assume many of us will learn very soon. It's a gemurah in Bubba Basra. The gemurah is daf chavuvo med alef. The gemurah says, Ruve barav Nachman, havulei hanu dikle, he had certain large, tall trees, amitzre de pardise de Rav Yosef, next to the border of a vineyard of Rav Yosef. Have usit sepoiri, birds came and went on this tall tree and jumped down on the next garden of Rav Yosef. Yesive bedikle venochte be pardise, imasre, they started eating these grapes. Comes Rav Yosef and he says to Ruve, Omalei, zilgo, koitz, chop off that tree. You're causing me damage. Because of your tree, the birds come on your tree, and they jump to my vineyard, and they consume the grapes, chop off the tree. I kept sufficient distance. You learn in the Mishnahs, in the Gemuras, a certain distance of 4 amos that needs to be kept. He said, I did whatever I'm supposed to do, and therefore I have no obligation to chop down the tree. That's only if they're regular trees. You need a longer distance than 4 amos. So then Ruve again said, Vanont nam echot gefanim vechot kolinen, all trees are similar. Umale hanemile ilon le ilon ve gefanim le gefanim. If both trees have the same height, then you're right, 4 amos is sufficient. But if one tree is taller than the others, then it's much easier for the birds to jump from the tall tree to the lower tree. Aber ilon le gefanim binon tve. So we had a difference of opinion. Ruve was convinced that he doesn't have to chop off his tree. He did whatever he's supposed to do. And Rav Yosef said, no, you have to chop off your tree. Says the Gemurah, Ruve, the owner of this tall tree, Omale anu loikaitzu. I won't chop off this tree. I won't touch that tree. Duma Rav, because Rav said, Haidikle de tuin kave usse le miktsai. A tree which has a certain amount of fruits cannot be chopped off. It's an isse, and therefore I can't even chop off my tree, even if I would want to. Duma Rav Chanine, then he quotes very sharp words of Rav Chanine, his son passed away, only the elu, the kotz, to enter below Zimne, because he chopped down a tree before its time. And therefore, I'm not touching my tree. However, mar, you, inichele, if you want to, lekutz, the tree is here, do whatever you want. I allow you to go in my field, can take, you can chop off the tree, it's fine, but I won't touch that tree. Isn't that exactly our case? Where you have different opinion between a guest and a host, or here two neighbors, where the host, in our case, is more strict in the matter, like we mentioned the T or the A or all of these cases, and the guest is more lenient. In this case, Rabbi Yosef, he wasn't a guest, he was a neighbor, but he was more lenient. He had no issue of chopping off the tree. So comes Reuven bar Rav Chunon, and he says to Rabbi Yosef, here is a tree, chop down a tree. I don't understand. If you have a stricter opinion, if you hold it's forbidden, not only it's forbidden, he called it quite sharp words. Why do you allow someone else to chop down this tree? Why not worry if it's forbidden for you, it should be forbidden for everyone else?
Is this Sakon? Is it Chumra or Halacha?
Rav says Usa. Moses Rav's Usa, right? Seems to be this. Says of Shlomo Zalman, we seem to learn from this Gemara, just like the opinion of the Ksav Sofer, that when you are of a more strict opinion, and the other person is of a more lenient opinion, then there's no issue of Lifnei Iver L'Sitzei Michshul, because the other person has an opinion to rely on, and therefore let him do as he wishes. But as we mentioned before, if you are more strict because of a Chumra, then there's definitely not an issue to let other person do as he wishes. If you hold some Mikra Adin, then a question should be asked. I want just to clarify before we finish two things. First, we only spoke about cases where both opinions are accepted. Sometimes we have people who are lenient without any reason to be lenient. This is a totally different case, and we're not discussing this case. We're discussing cases where both opinions are respected opinions, and therefore these rules would apply. The second thing is, which you asked before, are we talking in a case where you ask the other person to do something for you, or you just enable him to do it for himself? We only quoted cases where the person did it for himself. He drank the tea because he wants to drink the tea. He opened the bottle because he wants to open the bottle. He wants to do Avdullah for himself. He wants to carry an Arab. He wants to do these things because he wants to do it for himself. We didn't talk about the case when you ask someone to do that for you, which is a different question. And in 3 minutes, we don't have enough time to discuss that. But just to mention one shiva that Rav Vosner quotes in his Shevet Halevi, he speaks about people keeping Zman Rabbi Nitam. And Matzah Shabbos, before the Zman of Rabbi Nitam, so for them, not yet Matzah Shabbos, they want to ask a neighbor, someone else, can you do a melucha for me? For you, it's already Matzah Shabbos. For me, it's not yet Matzah Shabbos. Do you mind to turn on the light or do anything for me? Now, as we mentioned before, it's not exactly the same case, because we spoke about allowing the person to turn on the light for himself. He, Avazin, is talking about asking that person to do that for you. So Avazin says, in a case where you are of the opinion that Matzah Shabbos of Avein Etam, this is the right opinion, you can't ask someone else to do Meluche for you. It shouldn't be confused to Erev Shabbos, which has different haluches, because there everyone can choose when he wants to accept Shabbos. Here, because in your eyes it's definitely still Shabbos, you can't ask someone else to do something for you. However, he says, if it's only a chumah, he doesn't give a clear opinion. He says, Tzuch Ian, if you could ask someone else to do a melucha for you. But again, this is another topic for another time. Thank you.